Now, fellas, I'm just going to list off some things. Here is Vladdy Guerrero Jr.'s season so far. Home runs, first. RBIs, first. Hits, ninth. Runs scored, sixth. He is 11th in walks. His batting average is fourth. He's first in on-base percentage. He's first in slugging percentage. And he's first in OPS, which is on-base slugging percentage combined. Guys, and by the way, he's only 158th in strikeouts. He doesn't strike out very much for a power hitter. Like he's, and this isn't a time when the baseball pitchers are cheating more than steroid users, it seems, of the 1990s. Like he's having an unreal year.
Absolutely. He has arrived. He has risen to the top. It's great to see. Hopefully the rest of the team can pick it up. I know they're that AL East is always tough, but it's good to see Vladdy Guerrero. Well, and the other thing, too, the commitment to fitness, very noticeable, right? I mean, he was a big boy, and he slimmed down a little bit. Maybe he's a little bit quicker, and hopefully the rest of the Jays follow his lead, and this team's on the up and up. And listen, they're having a decent season. It's kind of like they tease and tantalize you, and then they lose games where you're like, what happened there? But good to see a superstar emerging, the son of a superstar and legend, and it's great to see, at least in my opinion, boys.
Well, you know what else, Tommy? I don't think we really touched on it, but he's becoming pretty proficient, like, in the field, too. Like, he's made some, I've seen him make some nice snags, so, you know, I know he wanted to play third, but he's on first. He looks like he's actually, you know, become a decent at that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the dexterity is there a little bit. He's stretching it out. It's great to see. And then, Greg, so I know you mentioned the cheating in baseball, but, like, how about what Pete Alonso was saying about the way MLB... He pointed the finger at MLB for messing with the balls season to season,
yeah,
as opposed
fair.
To what the hot topic is right now, and pitchers... basically, you know, being called out for using whatever advantage they can to get some sticky on the ball. And Pete Alonso's like, how about Major League Baseball messing with the ball year to year, depending on the free agent class? Like, whoa. And this is another star, that a young star in the league making accusations like that. Like, where's the trust from the players to the league? Gonzo.
What? Hey, let's make no mistake here. I've said it all along. Major League Baseball is the main culprit here, and because you're enabling the guys to cheat. And in some cases, you're forcing them a little bit because of the ball every year. And I know because a lot of people are like, well, what's the sticky substance? What's the benefit? It gives the pitcher a better grip, and then that allows them to have more they can grip tighter in some cases, so you can throw harder. But then it also allows them to have a higher spin rotation. When you have more spin rotation, then the ball's moving more, so it's obviously way harder to hit. And so, yep. You know, you can say, hey, Major League Baseball is at fault here. They are partially, but the players are still doing all the cheating, and they're doing it because they're like, well, we can get away with it, right? They all talk. And the funny thing is, like, it's like the hitters just accept it, because it's not like Vladdy Guerrero. Do I think there's no Blue Jay pitcher out there that it's probably using something? I'd be surprised, right? I'm not going to be naive to say. So you've got your own hitters. And they're like, and basically they're like, well, I'm just going to accept it because if my pitcher isn't cheating, then the other team has an advantage. So we're going to all cheat. And baseball has been ingrained in cheating forever, and the league allows it, right? It's kind of like the NHL, you know what their big problem is? They don't call the rule book. They've never called the rule book. It's a stupid, idiotic, moronic, any term you want to use, that's what the NHL does. And people just are like, oh, well, I guess we'll accept it. And it's too bad. And so Major League Baseball, they always try to, okay, geez, now it's looking bad. Okay, we'll crack down a little bit on it. Right, and that's what they're going to do this time. So Struds and I talked about it earlier. I'm not sure how they're going to go about the punishment. There's been talking about how they're, or even the enforcement of this, but it is a major issue. But regardless of all that, I think it just shows you how good of a season Guerrero's having, that even with all of the sticky substance going on, he's still crushing the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. And it's tremendous to see. And all of this, too, it's happening at a time. We talked about the Pete Alonso thing, the pitchers and Gerrit Cole being in the spotlight, trying to react to the question from the reporters. And then amidst all of that, here's the sugar on top and the cherry on top. A book's coming out about how the Astros continued to cheat well into 2019, and people were calling them out for it, and they're like, what are you going to do about it? Unbelievable. All at once. It's, you know, baseball, it's America's pastime. But it's stuff like this where you're just like, wow. You just behold it and you're like, what a sport. Crazy.
Talking with Tom Guzzola for Tiny Tom's Tidy Tidings today here on the Jason Greger Show. Tommy, just switching back to hockey, Brad Larsen was just announced a few moments ago that he's the new coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets. If you're not you, but if people aren't aware, he's been with them for, I think, 7 or 8 years. A former player, played 200-300 games in NHL. I played against him in the Western League. He was a good player. Now, I'm not going to ask you if he's a good coach or not. That's kind of not the point. But are you? What do you make of the fact that they're hiring internally and promoting a guy from within rather than bringing in some fresh blood from outside?
Yeah, a bit surprised when I saw it was Brad Larsen. And Strutty, there's some big names coaching-wise out there that you could bring in. I don't know what the ticket price might be for some of those guys. I'm sure it's pretty high. But Columbus is going through this interesting period where now people are looking at that market, that organization, and they're going, what's going on? Because they cannot hang on to star players. And they had a really good team a couple of years ago. They were supposed to have a good team this year, completely faltered and bottomed out and finished last in the division or right at the bottom. And you're just like, oh my goodness, especially after that trade for Laine and Roslovic that you thought would boost them up after everything that happened with Dubois. So unless Larsen has a good connection with some of the guys that have been around who have come through the system and they trust him, they like his messaging, and they're a guy that they can get behind, maybe that's something I didn't know about. And this organization, Jarmo Kekäläinen, John Davidson now, who's back, think that he's the answer and he'll right the ship because there's some big ticket names out there, guys.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to help anyone through the system. He's been an assistant coach for the team for 7 years. So back when he was the head coach in 2013-14, if anybody's still in the minors from that team, they're not going to be making it to the NHL.
Right, right. But I meant guys that are on the team now that were there, right? Like you got Atkinson, Calvert, those guys that were just coming through the ranks that remember him, have a bond with him. That's what I meant. You know,
But even if I'm looking at the last year of the guys, I don't think there's anybody from that last year. Like J.F. Jacques, for goodness sakes, was on that team when he was the head coach. There's none of the guys. They all know him from being the assistant coach. And that, to me, I have outlined it for the chance of an assistant coach having success in an organization historically is low. Because, and Strutty will attest to this, you're the assistant, you're kind of the nice guy. Right? Like you're the guy you talk to all the time. Now you got to be the head coach and you got to crack the whip. That's a real hard transition, is it not, Struts?
Yeah, I've been a part of it one time, I wasn't. I left after an assistant coach took over and it was difficult. It was somewhat difficult. You're right about that. You know, I know Larsen. I don't know him that well, but we played against each other. I like him, but I was like, you know, obviously they like him. They want to keep him in the organization. And I sometimes you hear his name kicked around to be a head coach, but I wonder if they just want, you know, someone who knows the players and how they need to be handled inside the dressing room instead of bringing someone else out. Like, I wonder if that was part of thinking. Then my last point, Greger, are you suggesting that J.F. Jacques has to come back because Larsen coached him? Is that what you're saying? Is that your break?
No. Yeah.
According to Jason Greger.
Low tide wants J.F. Jacques and Marc-Antoine Pouliot both.
Oh, right?
Jesus. I'd love
poor
to have
tide.
Both of them. So I think what this illustrates to me, guys, is that none of the big name coaches were necessarily interested in going there, or they don't want to necessarily pay big money. Because you look at Gerard Gallant. Yeah. You can't tell me Gerard Gallant's not a better head coach than Brad Larsen. And it's not a knock on Brad Larsen.
He is.
But, like, so this is an interesting signing for me. And I'd be curious. Like, I think Gallant's going to go to New York, but we'll see what happens. I think that'd be a good, you know, he's a good coach. He's a really good coach. Tommy, have yourself an awesome Thursday. We will chat with you tomorrow.
Positive Friday, boys. Looking forward to it.